The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant hello and welcome to the weekend. Big, huge weekend for college baseball. One win already in the books. It just literally ended moments ago in Nashville, where the Commodores are now one game away from the College World Series. But as it was yesterday, today the conversation here is all about the CFP and the 12-team playoff. Let's talk about it. SI.com with a positive headline. You don't see this very often. In a refreshing change, college football looks to be getting playoff expansion right. Meanwhile, college football playoff expansion may just mean more for the SEC and the Tide. That is a Cecil Hurts column in Tuscaloosa. So what would it mean, or if this had been in existence for a couple of years, how would the SEC have fared? 2014, how about this? Mississippi State and Ole Miss would have been in the playoff. We're talking to you, Hugh Freeze and Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen, you finally made the playoffs. 2015 and 2016, it was all about Bama. We know Georgia and Alabama made it, but so would Gus Malzahn. I wonder if he would still be at Auburn had he been a playoff contestant in 2017. In 18, Florida would have made it again. Dan Mullen, you now have two playoff bids. At Ogeron, you have two. Dan's got another one. Dan's like the Saban of the playoffs. Look at that. In 2020, Alabama, A&M, Florida, and Georgia. Even Jimbo made it again. Matt from San Antonio has to be happy. His team finally got in the playoffs. This according to Bill Conley. So not everyone liked it. We thought it was pretty cool, but leave it to Barrett Salee to be a killjoy. Sadly, writes him, proposed college football expansion puts the emphasis on access over excellence. Bah, humbug. Meanwhile, back to the Congress. Two U.S. senators criticized proposed college football playoff expansion. Cash grab. That will hurt players. Considering there's a former SEC head coach in the Senate, and I don't believe he's one of those senators quoted, should we really care? Meanwhile, Nick Saban has won yet another award. This from the National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches, the Willie Jeffries Trailblazer Award, and that is well-deserved. So what are we going to do here today? How about our first guest? We are fired up to listen to Bill Hancock. He's the CFP Executive Director. Dan Wetzel joins us in about an hour. He wrote a book about 15 years ago called Death to the BCS. Looks like he's got a chance to write one again. McElroy on the CFP in the college football season and Andy Staples. We have had just an extraordinary week here, and we will get to your phone calls in just a moment. But sometimes on Friday, we'd like to let you know what you missed in case you were busy working or buying lumber or doing whatever. Maybe you were on vacation. Let's start our week in review talking about the NIL with the Ole Miss Athletic Director.
It's one of those things where we're certainly all for this. We think that our student athletes need to have this opportunity as a normal student would, as any of us would. But yes, there are some concerns, and I think, you know, for us, we want to monitor it. We want to put those procedures in place and make sure that, you know, we're doing the right things there. But, you know, Paul, I think the thing that we're going to learn is that this is going to change. You know, things are going to evolve. We're going to have to make sure we're working in real time, and as things change, we're going to have to change with those things.
We talked a lot about the NIL, and Michael McCann, a law school professor from New England, appeared in front of the Senate committee, and then he joined us the next day.
I would say there was a sense of urgency with the topic that we've never seen before, with the fact that a handful of states' NIL laws will go into effect on July 1. That date kept coming up repeatedly, and I think there's a sense that it's sort of unnecessary for the sports world to be in this position that this issue should have been resolved a long time ago, and the NCAA didn't take action. So I think there was a sense that it's too bad that we're in this position. It seems like an avoidable circumstance, but members of Congress are certainly trying, at least some of them are trying, to resolve it before July 1 comes.
When it comes to the CFP, we woke up Tuesday reading and learning about Pete Thamel's major exclusive. And that later that day, Pete Thamel from Yahoo came here and told us what we would later find out officially.
I start hearing a lot of people talking about 12. The reasoning for 12 makes a lot of sense. These things are often not like what's best, but it's like what's the best awkward compromise to appease everyone clinging to their piece of the cookie. And I heard 12, And I floated it across every corner of this dysfunctional little college universe. And nobody even put up a yellow light. They were kind of like, yeah, 12. Yeah, 12. 12 makes sense. Here's why 12. Right now, the embrace of 12 appears to be where we are on June 8th.
Most people seem to like the CFP proposal, but one of those that doesn't was Booger McFarland. We told him about it yesterday, and hear for yourself.
Yeah, that's entirely too many games, Paul. Okay, we don't need 17 games to decide a champion, so why are we playing 17 games? It's for the fan and for the greed of a lot of people in college football. Okay, I don't need 17 games to tell me who the best team in the country is. Why are we playing 17 games? I have zero idea. I'm not for expansion. It sounds like that's where we're headed. But at some point, somebody's got to say, this is ridiculous. And maybe that's me, and I got no problem saying that, Paul.
Such negativity. That's something we just never allow here on this program. Meanwhile, Heather Dinich, our friend from ESPN, covers the CFP better than anyone. She told us yesterday what's next.
Everyone has to agree on this next week, first of all, right? And second, just because of what we see in the proposal today, that doesn't mean it's etched in stone. They could go and agree on 12 teams next week and say, yeah, but you know what? I like it this way, and I think maybe we should do this, etc. That being said, I'll be shocked if they leave Chicago next week and 12 teams isn't the answer. We're at this point. To me, it's 12 or bust at this point. But that's not to say that other aspects of this proposal can't be changed.
So that is Heather Dinich giving us the absolute latest. So we mentioned we have a lot going on here on the program, and don't go anywhere because Bill Hancock, in just a few minutes, he is the executive director. He runs the college football playoff. He's always here and ready to talk about what is next. And by the way, this is what it looks like for those of you who are just tuning in and have not heard. The bracket will include the 6 highest ranked conference champions and the 6 highest ranked other teams determined by the selection committee. The 4 highest ranked conference champions would be seeded 1 through 4, each team receiving a bye. Teams seeded 5 through 12 will play each other in the first round on home field of higher ranked team. The quarters and the semis will be played in the traditional bowl games. Championship game, of course, neutral site. Your phone calls always welcome, 855-242-7285. We have almost 4 hours remaining of conversation, many great guests. We begin all of it in just a moment with Bill Hancock.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Bill Hancock will join us shortly. Let's grab a couple of calls here first. John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon and happy Friday to you. And I agree, it was an extraordinary week. And I love the week's recap that you do at the first of the show on Friday.
Thank you so much.
Anyways, I love listening to you on Get Up. You partner well, very well, with Heather Dinich. And I'd swear you're the only person that can leave Greeny speechless at times. And in fact, I don't think he asks you anymore with the leadoff question, Paul, am I crazy? Because I think you've affirmed that each time.
No, I tell you what, I have really enjoyed, being Batman and Robin with Heather Dinich. She is so knowledgeable and really so much fun. And I try to compliment her as opposed to, have her looking around like, who is this crazy guy next to me? But we do have fun with it.
Oh, you compliment each other well. And I learned 3 things today. The word obfuscate, copacetic, another word, and that you're going to be around for many years more. Just the answer, who's in the top 12 and let Matt know that Texas A&M will be, I'm sure.
Well, thank you so much. Really a pleasure to have you on. And James is up next in Alabama. Hello, James.
How you doing today, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Me and my son have a question for you. If they go to the 12-team college football playoff, what's the idea of putting more emphasis on the regular scheduled season as these top five schools playing FCS teams? Should that be counted against them for not playing at the caliber level that they should be playing?
Well, James, it's a good question. Ultimately, the committee, you know, evaluates individual schools on a number of criteria, but scheduling is very critical. And I think you will, I don't know if you'll see fewer games, but every school is going to have to play a really healthy schedule. You're not going to get away with just going out and buying victories. It will not aid your prospects very much at all.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay. And would they maybe COVID show that they can basically do scheduling on the real quickly?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we found that last year in the COVID year that could happen, but that was a different situation. I mean, I saw a schedule the other day, somebody was scheduling somebody for 2034. Schedules are made anywhere from 5 to 10 or 15 years out. Now you can play around with them, but most schedules are pretty firm. I mean, the major schools aren't going wanting. Now, the one exception to that is those preseason games that aren't really preseason games. They're opening of the season games. Those are not scheduled too far out because you want to make sure those games have contenders as opposed to what we saw a couple of years ago when Alabama played Duke and it was just an embarrassing mismatch. We will continue with more phone calls. I mentioned Hancock will join us shortly. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Uncle Paul, how are you doing today?
We're doing well, Mitch. Thank you.
Are you ready for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
I'm indifferent. I don't really care one way or the other about this change of format, but I've thought about this since they talked. It's going to get expensive for some of these smaller schools if they are able to proceed on through. Don't they have to pay their own way to each game?
No. When you're in the playoff, I'll ask our next guest specifically, but your expenses are picked up by the CFP.
Okay. Well, I know it'll get expensive for the fandom.
Well, now that is true, Mitch, and I think it was Bowlesby or somebody yesterday that said, what about the fan? He said, well, that's what television is for. And yeah, I think the fans will get hurt, but that's not a big, I mean, if you think about, let's say you're a Clemson fan, which I know you are, and you play in the conference championship game, which, that's expensive to go to Charlotte or wherever you're coming from. And then if you don't have a great record, I mean, if you're not like a top four team, then you could be traveling up to Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State or California before you even start dealing with the other stuff. So I think fans will get shortchanged in all this from a travel standpoint.
Well, I was just thinking about the fact that, these smaller schools, they've wanted this for so long, but if like you say, their expenses are being paid, then it's no big deal. But I was just thinking about the small schools. Could they afford to?
Well, yeah. In the NCAA tournament, and I'm pretty sure in this, that's not going to be an issue. You have to also remember what these schools will be making by being a participant. There's a significant amount of money involved. I mean, these are. There's a reason why these things are $500 million in value, and that's the way it is now on an annual basis. Let's check out Wendy in Ohio. Hello, Wendy. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What are they going to do about if kids got to take exams, with this 12 playoffs? Are they going to let them do it online or –
I don't think the exams are going to be too big of an issue here. That's pretty funny. That's the one thing about athletics and academics. There's always a way to deal with it, and I think that is a problem that will not ever be too big. Now I'm not suggesting that if you're a student at Princeton, you're not going to maybe get your teacher to or your professor to change the exam schedule. But I would think anybody who's a contender for the college football playoff can probably work himself around that. Appreciate the call. James is up next. Hey, James.
So we're expecting Princeton to be in the top 12?
Probably not, no.
Okay. I'm just clarifying what you said. So help me understand. I've pivoted about half a dozen times. It's the top six from, in other words, the top six ranked conferences, and then everybody else is at large.
That is correct.
So there's no guarantee for Mike Oresko's?
No.
Okay. I feel better already, Paul.
Yeah, that's something I want to talk to Hancock about in a few minutes, because that was always the impression we had. And if you're a group of five and you're really good, then you ought to be ranked somewhere in that group anyway.
Right, but there's no guarantee of appeasement for these people.
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, now, I think, the fan issue, referring to what Booger had to say, I don't think this is necessarily being done for the fans, simply because of those that attend and are concerned about it besides listening to it on the radio. The issue is money, as has already been brought up. But I do agree with him on player safety. What we're doing is punishing those that are the top four because they play their conference championship. They've done well in the regular season, and they've won their conference championship, and now we're punishing them. They're going to have to play two extra games to win a championship. So instead of playing 15, you're looking at 17. So really, even though I think 12 is a ridiculous number, what they should have done, if they want to include everybody, is just go on and go for 16 and forget about your bye and do away with the conference championship game.
Well, James, listen, I appreciate your thoughts, but the fact that this is the way it's going to be is It's pretty laid out.
I don't get a vote, Paul?
Sadly, you don't even get a vote. You get nothing other than a goodbye. We're heading to a break. More to come. Bill Hancock will join us at the end of this break here. He's the head of the college football playoff, and we'll talk about all of those issues with him right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and you know, what an amazing week this has been. You know, we started off 5 days ago with the news that Nick Saban had been extended until 3025 or whatever it was. And then, of course, Pete Thamel's story. Then yesterday, the confirmation of what could be in the pipeline. So we've had a lot of conversation about it. Today we will talk to what we think are some of the leading experts in the in the media, from Dan Wetzel to Andy Staples, McElroy, and others. And we are now going to say hello to Bill Hancock, who, of course, runs the college football playoff. It's always great to welcome Bill to the program. Bill, thank you very much. It's so good to talk to you. Not much going on, huh?
It's a quiet day, Paul. Good to hear your voice. And I have to say, I'm calling you from the parking lot at Arthur Bryant's Barbecue in Kansas City, which is Kansas City's version of Dreamland, except they don't have any banana pudding. So there.
Yeah, no, I have been to Kansas City, but I've never been to Arthur Bryant's. But I can assure you, I've heard of it my entire life. And one thing I never fault you for, Bill, is your culinary expertise. Having had raisin bran with you at breakfast during SEC media days many a time.
Exactly.
Well, I look forward to seeing you soon, I hope. But I do want to talk about this week because, you know, we've had countless conversations over these years. I dare say this has been one of the most extraordinary weeks. As we move to the next step, of course, everyone knows that is. I'm just really interested in your thoughts on the way this news has broken and been digested by the many, many millions of college football fans all over.
Oh, overwhelmingly positive. If this gets to the finish line, and as you know, it's a long way from the finish line, it will be good for college football. And it's all about just more participants, more participation. And as you, people have told you, I know, this is a small working group of people who made this recommendation, and we are a long way from that finish line, but you can see it out there.
Listen, I understand that, Bill, but I think we would both agree that some of the people that were on this working group are quite extraordinary people in their own right, and I think they will be listened to. But I'm just curious about some of the things that we all thought we knew and found out we didn't, just to make sure that we understand, because there's just been this feeling out there that the only way to make this work would be to guarantee the group of five a seat, and that was a big surprise to me yesterday when I didn't see that in this working group proposal. Can you give us any insight on how those conversations went?
With six conference champions, you can do the math on the conferences to participate. We didn't want automatic qualification. That AQ was not a good term for us back in the BCS days, and that's why we don't have automatic qualification in the CFP, and that's why we're not going to have it in the future. But the top six conference champions will have a spot.
And then, of course, you go. So yeah. And I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth here, because we've all had so many opinions since then. But you know, how, I mean, other than the access of the fans and more, how do you think this is going to significantly improve the product?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I like the symmetry of the 6 conference champions and the 6 at large. That makes a lot of sense. This will make November extremely meaningful. Obviously, the conference championship games will be extraordinarily meaningful, but it keeps September important because of the AQ. The at-large. So with the 2 ways to get in, you've taken care of November, and you've also taken care of September.
And Bill, that was something I heard yesterday from people that were listening to the call that you participated in. And, you know, again, a lot of misconceptions, that's fine. That's where we are. But I want you to talk about how the conference championship games across the board are going to be more meaningful. Certainly, I would understand, maybe in a group of 5, but how would the SEC championship game, for example, be more meaningful when both schools are very likely going anyway?
I think if you think about, there's the word de facto. People used to say the conference championships were a de facto play-in into the playoffs. Well, there's no more de facto. You win that game, and if you're in the top 6, you're going to be in. Top 6 conferences, you're going to be in. So we've stricken the word de facto from our jargon. And that's a victory right there. But there's still opportunity for the team that doesn't win those games to be considered at large. So I think it's a win. Every conference, of course, is different. Every conference will look at this differently. I get that. It'll change things for some conferences more than it will for others. But overall, it'll be good for college football.
Yeah. I want to complain. I always hate when we strike Latin words from the college football conversation. Bill, another thing that I've been meaning to – been dying to ask somebody, it's the Rose Bowl because, we've all said it, whether we really knew what we were talking about or not, apparently we didn't, that the Rose Bowl is the problem. Until we can remove the Rose Bowl from 4:30 on New Year's Day, we're never going to make progress. So unless I miss something, the Rose Bowl may still be on that date if it's in that rotation. But if the Rose Bowl is hosting a semifinal or a championship game, then we're not going to see it on January 1st, are we?
We haven't gotten to that point. All we've said is we intend to have 6 bowl games. We don't know which bowl games they'll be. And there's 4 quarterfinals and 2 semifinals. The championship game will continue to be a separate event run by the CFP itself, but the 6 bowl games will be important in this, and we just don't know yet what the 6 games will be. We don't know what the specifications will be for those 6. We've got a lot of work to do on specifications for the campus sites. But I know I've told you this before, and I firmly believe it, that 4:30 New Year's Day, San Gabriel's, it's a special thing about college football. And when I talk to people who don't know college football near as well as you and I know it, they do know the Rose Bowl.
I agree with you, Bill. There's nothing quite like it. But let's also talk about some of the other confusing aspects of this. And this is I think it's a time to celebrate. I think we agree on that. But a lot of your colleagues and friends and even you have been pretty steadfast in your defense of where we were. We talked to Commissioner Sankey a couple of weeks ago, and he wasn't a whole lot different than all the things that you have said. So I guess the big question I think we're all interested in is, what happened? What changed?
Well, things change. People change. We had 7 years to look at this. But remember that this is only 4 people making a recommendation to the first group, the commissioners, who then have to coalesce around a plan and make it the recommendation to the second group, and then the presidents, And then the second group has to spend the summer figuring out whether it can actually be done. So that's what I mean when I say the finish line is a long ways away. But people change, perspectives change. And I heard Bob Bowlsby say this, and I think he's right. I've heard him say it before. No one really knew how difficult it would be for a conference to not get into the CFP. I don't think any of us understood that 9 years ago when we created the CFP. It's hard. It's hard.
Bill, you said a couple weeks ago that it wouldn't be this season, obviously, since it's not even going to be approved by the time we start the season, or next season. Can you help us understand better, you know, why 23 is the earliest? And that's even that's not a guarantee, is it?
No, it isn't a guarantee. It's not even a guarantee that we'll move off of four. There are contracts with the bowl games that go for five more years. There's a television contract that has to be worked through. And that alone, those alone are can be done, but there's plenty of details that have to be a lot of T's that have to be crossed and lots of I's that have to be dotted.
So I know I'm asking a variation of what I just asked you, but I mean, can you, you know, there's so much excitement here. You know that. You alluded to that in the beginning. But some of that excitement is going to go out the window if we find out in a couple of months that this thing is not going into existence until the end of the contract. You would agree with me on that, wouldn't you?
You know, you run a risk, Paul, of being honest with people. And we were honest this time. And we said, here's the working group's recommendation. And I suppose we could have sat on that. But we said, no, we want to put it out. We want people to know what we're thinking about. We want feedback. I maintain that the four-team event is really not a bad thing. It's very popular. And if we stay with it, we stay with it. But, yeah, this is an exciting day for football fans. We all just like thinking about something new. We love that. I'd love it. We all do. And this that's why this is an exciting day.
You've also heard the criticism. And we had Booger McFarland on here yesterday, Bill, and he was very concerned as a former player about the wear and tear. And I realize only, you know, it's you know, the idea is that a school will go 17 games is not likely, but it could. We all agree on that. What are your concerns about that? Because, you know, we've heard player safety uttered by many, many people in intercollegiate athletics often.
Well, that's one reason we have a feedback period. Players will have a chance to weigh in on this. ADs will, coaches will, university presidents will. But remember that for half the teams who play in this new event, if it comes to pass, will not be playing any more games than they're playing now. And I had a player tell me they'd rather play than practice. There's probably some wisdom in that.
You mentioned the television part of this, and this is always awkward because, you know, we're doing this interview on a network, both on radio and television, that is owned by ESPN, which is your partner. So can you, it's easier asking you than going down the hallway. Can you help us understand the role that the network, and we're talking about ESPN here, plays in these conversations?
When we did this the last time, it was a matter of just talking to them about the value, helping them help us, asking them to help us with calendar. And those talks take place for a long time. We did the CFP. We agreed to have a CFP in June of 2012, and we didn't finish the television contract until November, so 6 months later. These there are a lot of details, and they will take a long time.
So, is your network partner in consultation? Do they play a role, or do you get to them once you make your determination?
We get to them once we make the determination. Yep, there's been no talk in our room about money, or even much about TV, other than what are the good dates. So yeah, it'll be like it was before. We'll decide whether to expand, and then we'll figure out what kind of value there is in it. We think there is significant value to help college athletics, to help all sports, but we don't know that for sure.
Okay, Bill, let me end the conversation with the most difficult question I've asked you, although we want transparency here, and we'll be terribly disappointed if we don't get it. You went to one of the most famous barbecue restaurants in America today. What did you eat?
Beef sandwich and fries and red cream soda.
Okay,
with extra pickles.
Okay, well, I would have been disappointed without those extra pickles. Bill, thank you for me. I know it's been a very busy couple of days. We appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Okay, you be well. Bill Hancock, who runs the college football playoff with the information, more information on where they are right now. We will take a break. We'll digest what he had to say as he digests the beef sandwich and fries. And get to your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we are back here on a Friday. Vanderbilt made short work out of East Carolina. Rocker on the mound. 11 strikeouts. A win tomorrow, and they're heading to Omaha again. They've won it a couple of times, so Tim Corbin's group knows the road. Arkansas is next up at 6 p.m., and then later tonight out west, Ole Miss takes on Arizona. Let's get back to the calls, and Donna is in Arkansas. Hello, Donna. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Paul. Long time no talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Do you remember me?
I sure do, Donna. How have you been?
I'm the one that bet my husband on Arkansas basketball and beat him every time.
Yeah. So you he's still around. You didn't like bet him, and send him somewhere else, did you?
No. Now I'm doing baseball with him.
Oh, okay.
He's also losing an it.
So does he have to pay in Bitcoin or what?
No, Bitcoin. I don't trust it. Okay. Got to be full cash.
Okay. I hear you.
No credit cards.
I hope he's got a few bucks.
Yeah, he does. He's doing okay, but he forgets the Hogs are number one right now in baseball. And so he kind of looks away from the fact that they've won two out of three of all these series this year. I think he really wants them to win, and therefore he bets against them to jinx them, or jinx the other team, actually. So we're doing okay, though. I mean, I'm pretty good on shopping right now, and they went through a successful basketball season, too.
Yeah,
I did pretty good there, too. I need to get them winning football. Then I'd have all three of the major sports.
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay. Well, Donna, you take care of yourself, and I appreciate the update. Gil is up next in Florida. Hello, Gil.
Hey, how you doing? Long time since I talked to you.
Well, thank you, Gil. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to talk about this money ball, because turning college football into money ball. I've been around quite a while. I'm 72, and I've been watching college football since I was about 10, a big Alabama fan. And, of course, through all the years, I have really seen a lot of sleaze that can come into college football. You know where I'm going with this?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, we all know of all the shenanigans that can happen, you know, from people on the sideline, boosters, and all sorts of, questionable characters that seem to be able to get money into the pockets of the players. And I really fear for college football with this money thing, because I just know. I mean, these kids are out here busting their tails because they all have the same dream that, you know, that they hope they can get into the pros. And the reason they want to do that is make a good life for themselves, not only for...
Gil, I deeply apologize. I take care of yourself. We're up against the clock. They're about to literally cut me off. We are coming back with three more hours. Dan Wetzel in the next hour.